Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. It's good to join you once again. Quite substantial to see a Stefesh on a cold day. Getting up. Whatever time you get up on a cold day, it feels if it's early. And Shavuot Mutzlech day. Avraham Avinu gave Ephraim a good deal. He bought the Maaseh Machpelah and the area around it for Dalet Meiris Shekel Kesef Over Lefecha. 400 silver shkolim over Lefecha, except the currency all over. We're not familiar with shkolim of time of the Torah, but let's get an idea how much this property is worth and how much he paid. How large is the area that he bought from Maaseh Machpelah? You know, we've got a good idea how large it was. Yaakov Avinu, in the later Pasha, bought an area for his ganze, for his whole camp. That's a large, very large family, and he had a fortune in cattle. And he paid Me'ah Kesita. 100 kesita. The Gemara in Yuma and makes it, was that a good deal? What makes it a good deal? So Rashi in Pashas Vayishlach brings the Chazal that when Chamor ben Shechem was tempting Dina, the post used the Loshim Vayidaber Alev Hanara. He spoke to the girl. So what did he speak? Alev. So Rashi explains Alev means words that hit home. Sometimes he can say something and it's just water off attacks back. He wanted to say something that hit on. What did he tell her? He said, listen to me. Your father bought a small area and he paid a fortune. He paid a male casita. You marry me, you'll have whatever you want. You'll have the whole town. How much was male casita? So you see, male casita was overpaid. How much was male casita? Male casita, the Gemara of the Shoshalot of Lamed Vav, a Chofav says, a casita is a quarter of a shekel. So 100 is 25 shkolim. So Yaakov paid 25 shkolim for an area, and that was majorly overpaid. Avraham Avinu paid 400 shkolim kesef over l'seicha. Work it out. 8 times as much, which was in the language, imagine for a property worth a million, pay 8 million. And it has over l'seicha, that was time shkolim, it's over l'seicha, high value currency. Amazing. Gewaltig. But why? Why did Avraham Avinu pay so much? To negotiate, you know. Ephraim said a price, Ma'abah Meir Shekel Kesef, said perhaps a bit lower. You know, just accept such a fortune. Who would accept a property nowadays worth a million? The market price of a million, so I'll sell it to you for 10 million. I've seen a lot, but I've yet to see that. So I used to think, Shat is, stating, Ariza being from the Zohar Kodesh, when it comes to a mitzvah, you don't negotiate. Someone asks you, if you go to buy a lulav, and you ask the dealer how much it is, and he says, £100, you don't argue, you don't negotiate. That's how an hogger starts pi'alocha, you may negotiate, may ask for a good deal, especially if you're buying a few, but there's any you don't negotiate. So the choyeb shati, is someone would offer you the king's crown, and you know he won't negotiate on it. I've got it, it's worth all the value. So chashivut in the mitzvah, if that's what you ask, I'll pay you, I'm not, is it worth it, I'll pay you less. That's not the mahalach. You're buying something so valuable. That's what I used to think. I had two questions on that. Firstly, so Ephraim asked for 400. He didn't ask for Oiva L'Seicha. Why did Avraham volunteer Oiva L'Seicha? And secondly, this morning, I saw that Moshe Shterbuch asks that this halacha of the Arizal, this hanhoga, better, of the Arizal, that you don't negotiate, is up to a sixth. More than a sixth you may negotiate. So the difference is far larger than a sixth. So the Moshe Shterbuch in the Sefer Tam Vadas explains that Avraham Avinu was afraid that Ephraim would find out that in this place I'm selling Adam Chava buried, They'll say, what? I sold such a place, this valuable piece of land. I'll go back to Avraham and say, I want it back. I undercharged you. So Avraham Avinu wanted to settle that possibility, make sure that wasn't the option, in case you do ever come back to Shem, paying a good price, whatever it is, even for Adam and Chava, you've got a good value. Mordechai Hanoga. What does the Torah say weiter? Vashem Berech as Avraham Bakoyim. Poshut Pshat is Avraham Shem Berech as Avraham Bakoyim, everything. But it turns out, also Pshat, I could even say it's a Poshut Pshat. Shem Berech as Avraham Bakoyim is Pshat. That Avraham Avinu was happy with all he had. Sometimes you can have someone who's got a fortune, but he wants more, he's not happy, he's got solace, he's got iron, someone else's car, someone else's that. Well, for any reason or other, he can have a fortune and not be happy. Shem Berech as Avraham Bakoyil, the Hadoch was a Moedic Baruch. Whatever you've got, Bakoyil, whatever you've got, be happy with it. That was a Baruch. Shem Berech as Avraham Bakoyil. The same benching. Supporting the same tale, the same darling as well. Those who seek Hashem don't lack all goodness. The Shlach Kodesh says, Pshat, doesn't mean they have everything. There are many Doshe Hashem who haven't got everything. They're not lacking. Whatever they've got, they're happy with, and they're not looking for more. That's why in Hunger, if you deal with Erlichkeit, like Avraham Avinu dealt with Ephraim, with Erlichkeit, kicking for all possibilities, there should be any talumas. Any tainas, any tvias, you deal with the Erlichkeit being open, transparent, there are any guarantees, as Hashem Berech Avraham Bakoyil, V'doy she'Hashem lo yachsu chol toiv. So for two cases, we've got the breach of contract. We start off with a case of a situation where someone wants to take on an employee, a talented employee, and he's got a choice of taking a goy, taking a yid, and he says, I've got one of the applications is a yid, good, reliable, and everything he's looking for, and it's even a mitzvah to give the job to the yid rather than a goy. He's got one concern, a major concern, that after this, Ploini will call him, David will join the work team, he'll pick up the skills, they pick up the experience, and sometime down the line he'll want to open shop himself in this area, which is a common scenario. So a person wants to do a favor to someone else, he wants to do a mitzvah, he wants to help someone, but he's scared to backfire. So he's looking to protect himself that this person is taking on, this David is taking on, won't set up a similar business in this area. Is there any way this can be done? A contract. What is in the contract? They're cut open. So the first port of call, first thought is make a contract that you can't open up. Yeah. Is that valid? Oh, so it's restrictive that the Medina de Machusa certainly don't encourage that. But api halacha, it's questionable. Why? Because you can make a contract to perform. You can say, I will owe you money, I will sell you a property or an item. I can do something. But to say, make a commitment that you will not do, is that binding? Has that got a takeoff? Well, the Torah tells us we're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, we're not allowed to eat Nevelis or Tzefus. But what we're doing by accepting upon ourselves, I won't do, I'm asking you not to do, has that got any validity? Sorry?
Isn't it not Masik Gavilk?
Not necessarily. Let's say, not necessarily. But the Masik Gavul is a good question. Whether it will apply here is unlikely. There are probably other people anyway. Whether he'll have to take his clients is another question. There are a few questions. Is he allowed to open shop and compete? The difference between reducing income or demolishing income. And there are many cases that will not be offered as Masik Gavul. A case in hand of Bengea, this Shaila, about a commitment not to perform is what's mentioned in the Pasuk, the Pesach Tshuva brings it down in Hilchos Shutfin. And the Shaila is that this is common practice. You go to an auction and you find you're bidding for a property and there's an Eid bidding against you. So you tell them, do me a favor, why should we bid against each other? You back down, I'll pay 25,000 and I'll buy it. So both have what to gain. So it does. Is the person who buys it, is he chayiv to pay this person who agreed to step down? When you ask someone to do something for you, to paint your house, or to do your, to audit your accounts, you pay someone to do a job, that's a payoff. But we paid him for doing nothing, is that binding? So the Pesach Tshuva, sorry? Because this Chayes Poelim is a contract which is a Mechayev. It's in order to be Mechayev Apidin Treya, it has to be Chal. It's a tit for tat. If I sell, if I give you an item, you give me back, me Mechayev, give me back the money. But the Sheva Tasa, of course, it's not, in the Dibur, it's not correct. But to say that's binding up your halacha, we're not getting anything exchanged. And just like as kinyonim, it has to be, you have to do something to create a kinyon. The fact that I'm not getting in return, is that considered binding? So the truth, you give the money straight away, you can't take it back. Yeah. The child is unchayv to keep your word. So the truth is based on it, says you're not chayv. Not chayv to pay. The minchas pitim argues, says you are. So we have the machlekes achareinim, it's called optic gelt, that's what a person call it. Step back, let me go forward. Is that binding? This has got immense ramifications, but just an example in hand is this. You make a commitment not to perform. Is that binding? It may well be that's not binding. A shliach, why would that make a difference? As long as he's got authority to agree, I don't think the shliach would make any difference. It wouldn't make it better or worse. If it would work, it would work even with a shliach. Without, if it wouldn't work, it wouldn't work even being a shliach. Yeah, so that may be. That may be. Shall we have the basic and enforce it? I think you should come and speak here.
No.
Have I ever would have a hashkofa, we'd be out of business, that's all I can say. But have I, that's a zichah right hashkofa. But sometimes the shayla is, api alocha, if it's api alocha, got a right too. I'm not taking this case is certainly going against his word. But we want to do something, the nesienis are immense. And we're trying to do something, business, and whatever goodwill there is at the beginning of setting up an apprenticeship or something like that, when it comes down the line, 5 years, 7 years down the line, it's much more challenging. Then in order to, you have to keep something which is in, you have to set something up which is beyond goodwill. Goodwill has got its limits. And the same is also there. Okay, about time permitting, I'll come back to a couple of cases that I've just had recently. But again, this. A similar case is, can you impose a limit to a sale? You can sell a property and it takes some rights. You want to sell a property, the house next door to you, you had two houses, you need one. But you want to park one of your cars in the other person's drive. Can you sell your house to a buyer and tell him, but I retain the right to park my car in the drive? Of course you can. It's like a shutfus. You've got it to live. I've got it. I've got 1% usage or 0.5% usage of using the drive. That's perfectly all right. Can you say, this is a case that happened, the person doesn't get on with
is this a verbal agreement or written down?
Even written down, this question, even to make such a kinyan, is it chal? Well, if someone got a property and he knows that someone is desperate to buy this property, but that someone happens to be someone he doesn't get on with. So he wants to say, there's no way he wants that person to get hold of this property. Ploini will call him Esav. He doesn't want Esav to get the property. So he wants to make a condition, he wants to make a sale to the person who's selling the property, but don't ever sell it to Esav, however much he offers you. And these things happen. Is that binding? What are you doing? You're telling him, you're giving it to the property, he said, but not for this, not for that. Is that chav? Have I got to take it? So the sma, in simulation with ma'alef, holds it is. And you can limit what you're giving over, just as you can become a partner in the usage to park your car, similarly you can be a partner and restrict, I don't want you to do that. However, the Chazanish, Divi Malkiel, Divi Chaim, all argue, there's no such thing. If you give it over to him, you've given it over to him. You can ask him not to, but in no way can you restrict his financial chusim. And this shaila is nageya to copyrights. Someone wants to produce a book, safer, music, whatever method of music he wants to create. Can you say, I'll sell it, let's take the olden days when it was a tape or a disc. And he said, I'll sell it to you, but don't copy. So would you say, I'm selling it to you, you use it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'll use it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? No problem. Partners, should fit. He said, it's yours, do whatever you want with it, but don't copy. So you're not keeping, if you say, I have got the right to copy it, fine. But you're telling me it's yours, but don't copy it. Is there such a thing? So this is part of the greater sugya of copyright. Can you restrict that somebody's bought something? Can you impose a restriction? So according to Sma, you may do, or according to Lachlanim, you can't. So again, so if you want to do something which is enforceable, you have to be watertight, otherwise, then you're exposing yourself to this. Other person will say, I understand, you want to go with the shit of the Sma, but there are many Gdei Lachlanim who allow me to do it. And I'm Semich on them, I'm going to do it. That's right, another question. How far does the right go? Very good. Right. Just mention very briefly two cases that come up recently. There are lots of professional shadchanim around. However many there are, we need more. But there were two shadchanim, and each one thought of the same shidduch. And each one had already approached the boy's side and the girl's side. And then they found out that they're both on the same plan. So they made an agreement. One was stepped down, but they made an agreement that the one who will be matzliach, Reuven, will go forward, but he'll pay Shimon a percentage. And then there was some type of disagreement among them. So they came to ask a shaila. So part of the question is such an agreement valid? What you're not asking the other person to perform, you're asking to step back. Another case I had this week, there were two salesmen who were after the same client, and they're both Yidden. Client was a goy, and the benefit of both of them, the only one should go. So again, they made this agreement. One person should go, and the other person won't, and he'll take a share of the profits. So again, then there was a misunderstanding, there was a dispute. So again, we had to consider whether this agreement, is it valid? So you've got the same shayla. He's not asking him to perform, he's asking him to step back. Oh, very good. Now, there's a... Sorry? Very good, very good. So there is a difference between... We mentioned earlier that if you meet someone at the auction, you ask him not to outbid you and you pay him, then that's questionable. We mentioned Machlekes Beis Dovid and Minchas Pitim. In this case, it's slightly different because what we're doing there is they're taking a percentage. They're becoming shuktim. They're not paying a percentage, mentioning a percentage. So in Oruch HaShulchan, Simkuf Ayin Vav, Sif Ches, he says that a passive instruction is binding to create a shutfas. Very good. It's a difference between shutfas and employment. So again, I'm not giving up a sack, I'm just mentioning the points which are relevant to our shaila. So where we're up to? We're up to discussing what can you do to enforce a non-compete clause. So you said straightforward, just to say you accept the point, said you agree not to compete. That's questionable because it's a passive, it's a sheval tas as opposed to an active. However, the Chasam Sofer had a story about a sheikhet who trained in an apprentice, and he made a specific condition not to shecht in this little town. There's a limited amount of business opportunities, and he made this agreement, and the person, the worker, agreed. And as you can imagine, few years later, he did start shechting himself on his own. So the sheikh came with a tvia. You agree to contract. So the Chasam Sofer, this is in Yehudea, in Shuvich Yehudea Simetes, says that this clause is enforceable. It is valid, and the apprentice must not practice. Why? He said, because when he taught this apprentice, he was like a worker, he was helping, he was teaching him. Teaching him something is a chargeable commodity. Part of his price was that I'm teaching you and you won't set up, you won't compete as part of the price. If you would have known that you would compete, he would charge him far more. He's teaching him. There's a price tag to this service of teaching. So you have to accommodate that into the price. So he made the agreement that the price is X, Y, Z plus not competing. And if you don't keep that, you do compete, then you're going to have to pay far higher price for teaching. A similar story is a similar. Yeah?
The apprentice gets paid next to nothing.
Next to nothing, yeah? Because they're both gained, yeah.
In our case, the apprentice pays
both. Yeah. Because exactly. The point is that's exactly what we're saying. He also, in this case, also he paid him. That's exactly what we're saying because he's paid, but he's being taught. So part of the job of teaching him, as you say, apprentice pays. Because the apprentice pays, so the sheikh is teaching him. Spot on. That's exactly the point. And if you get something, very little wage, included in that and working out the wage is the fact that he's teaching him. That's a major part of this arrangement. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he married Tzipora, his shver, as part of the nadun that his shver gave, was a condition that you don't leave home without permission. Was Moshe Rabbeinu obliged to keep this term of the shidduch? He kept it, good. Yeah, is that a liar? The fact that he kept it, is that a liar? We mentioned earlier, David Shkoy, David Emes, before, is that a liar? So this is a similar question. He's telling him not to leave. Yeah, and also, what transaction is there here? So no one less than the Rivosh discusses this. Rivosh, what we say in the Shemim, says that it's binding. Why? Because Yisroel had the last say who's going to marry his daughter. It was up to him. So it's similar to a sale. And part of the sale was you can have Tzipora, it's a good shidduch, but the sale price is, this I could say, pay me XYZ. You can say, don't leave. It's part of the transaction. Just as the Chasam Sofer said, when you have an employment arrangement, then you can say, I'm teaching you how to shecht, and part of the terms of the contract are, don't compete. Similarly, when he's giving his daughter, assuming that's similar to selling a commodity, you can say the price tag is, I could ask you for money, what I'm asking you is, this is the terms. So that's binding just as terms of employment, terms of a sale are. So according to the opinion of the Chasam Sofer and the Rivosh, this in employment and sale, this may be binding. So in case of non-compete, whereas he's training in somebody in this business, in this line, then according to their shitta it would be binding.
After a year or 2 years when he knows the business?
No, it's said at the beginning that's in place.
No, at the beginning
of the
agreement.
No, you can't come later.
In start, then he said, well, I believe you're waiting, but the agreement is.
No, it has to be, you can't change terms and mid. You can't change that in a plan in employment. Whenever you cannot dismiss an employee, you cannot change the terms. That's a cardinal rule. And there's all the shailas, can I do this, can I do that? Can I do that? Very good. That was very good. This point of divorce may be relevant to the case of copyright because part of the sale agreement. Very good. Yeah. The question is only, does that make a difference to the price? And if you are, in case of divorce, you're saying, but for not, it would be a higher price. It's difficult to say that in copyrights.
Why?
It's not public condition, it's not proper tonight.
It's not public condition.
Where did you say it's not public condition?
So,
now, why is it? Who said if you make the tenai according to Hilchas Shamayim, it is a kedushin, it is a tenai. And if you don't do it correctly, then it's a kedushin without a tenai. But to say it's not a kedushin, I'm not sure what you mean. Sometimes by gittin, it may not be a get because you're not seeing it completely. Actually, we'll just try and finish, and we'll take questions later. Sometimes we start off by saying just write a contract and to be binding. So we mentioned there's a problem of. There's a problem of passive action. So you may say sometimes some contracts are enforceable because of dina de malchus dina. Many of our contracts are not perfectly iskalt in api halacha, but nevertheless they may be acceptable on the basis that dina de malchus accepts them, and that's got a certain power in halacha. So you may say this contract, even you consider api halacha, we consider api halacha non-enforceable because of it's a shev al tasa, but nevertheless, legally it's enforceable. That may be enough. That may be the case, but the facts are not so. The facts, as I mentioned earlier, the direction of policy in UK and abroad is to discourage these types of agreements. It's restrictive and encourages monopoly, and it puts the employer in an unreasonable situation. So basically, the employer can do what he wants, and the employee, you know, you can never. They're not facing any threat. The employees are disadvantaged. So that the deal of Mahusa is definitely not to encourage to allow these laws. Yeah, there is another option, that is to impose a penalty. You can say, we drop a contract, that if you open shop, you compete with me within the next 5 years, 10 years, in this area, then you will be liable to pay a penalty of £50,000, £100,000, enough to deter the person from setting up shop. That sounds very healthy. Sounds very healthy, sounds very good. Yeah? And you have to be able to be done correctly as you make a kinyan. Yeah? The problem here is there's a concept of asmachta. Asmachta is some people live in a mindset that things will work out. And it's justified. Most things we do work out. So a person who makes a condition, makes an undertaking, is not really living with the fact that it may happen. The Gemara talks about a case of someone who borrowed money and said, if I don't pay you within 3 years, you can take my house. Does he want to give away his house? Chas v'sholem. That's what he wants. He wants to pay. And when it comes to it and he doesn't pay, so now the lender says, can I have your property? I didn't really mean it. That's considered an asmachta, which is a major... a major point in contracts. But there are ways of avoiding the problem of asmachta. There are words that one can add on in the shtar Like, for example, has to be done in the correct way. The whole simon, the chishmish simon, the zayin would deal with this, but that is something that can be done. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here.